In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How in the world did we get to August already? Why is it that summer always seems to fly? I haven't noticed a February or a March that rushed along like summertime does. Summer, for the most part anyway, is a welcome time for many of us. Time to slow down, relax a little bit, catch up with family and friends, maybe travel a bit, get out on the boat, go kayaking, look for waves. But while you were out cooking on the grill, Luke and the psalmist, not to mention Ecclesiastes, have other ideas. They are far from taking it easy, perhaps you noticed. Today, they are challenging us with verses that sizzle like the burgers you have on the grill. While you were relaxing and taking it a little easier than usual, they are hitting us right where we live. Not on the back porch, but in the wallet. The brother who wants the inheritance and the man building bigger barns raise a whole host of questions for us. And when we stop and think about it, perhaps summer is as good a time as any to think about money matters. It's a good time of year to clear the mental and emotional space to prayerfully reflect with God on our own concerns and attitudes towards money. No stewardship pressure from the fall fundraising drive. Just an open invitation to reflect on the questions these passages raise. What does it mean to be rich towards God? Are there times when my own attitudes are more like being rich towards me? Are my attitudes of greed? Where I am fearful and holding tight to all that is mine, even when I have more than I need? Am I so focused on me and my own needs and fears that, like the brothers in the story and the man in the parable, have I forgotten God completely and my neighbor in need? These readings and these very questions have haunted me for years. Way, way back when I was still in my 30s, when I didn't really believe there was a God, and my doubt was stronger than any excuse for what I might have called faith, I lived in daily terror of not having enough. In the culture at that time, especially in my home, women were taught that they were dependent on men to support them, that they couldn't support themselves, they didn't have it in them. Their place was in the home. At the time, I never thought to question it. I accepted that that's just the way it was. So when I found myself divorced with two small children at the age of 30, with no prospect of a job and a pitiful excuse for child support to depend on in order to pay my bills, fear ran my life. I took my kids to church just to have something to do on Sunday morning. And as God or grace would have it, it was at a church one Sunday morning that my life changed. At announcement time that day, and it happened that it was during stewardship season, the head of the stewardship committee stood up with his wife and two teenage kids and began to talk about how tithing, giving 10% of his income before taxes, changed his life and the life of his family. Hardy Kilgore, and it really made an impression because I still remember his name, was a small man with bright eyes and an engaging smile. What hair he had left formed the monk's tonsure around his head. He wasn't slick or glib. He wasn't even much of a salesman. It was easy to have a mental argument with him as he spoke. Yeah, 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 I remember thinking. Give it a rest, Hardy. I don't believe a word of it. Every month I run out of money before the month runs out of days. My needs list is long. I need more income, not to give away what little I have so that I have even less. How can I give away 10% of not enough in the first place? The longer he spoke, the louder the voice in my head argued. Each member of that family talked about his or her experience of tithing, even Hardy's teenagers. They talked about how tithing strengthened their faith, how it brought them closer to God, how it changed them so that they became more mindful about what they needed and less driven by what they wanted. They talked about growing in gratitude for what they had instead of being angry about what they didn't have. They talked about the joy they found in tithing. In tithing, a word most people, especially clergy, don't even dare utter in church. Clergy don't want to talk about money almost ever unless pressed for fear of alienating members of the congregation. Building bigger barns wasn't this family's goal. They wanted to give, 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 not get, get, get. Well, even though it wasn't summer, and even though he was the chair of the fall fun drive, I went home with a lot to think about. It was like having that proverbial grain of sand in my shoe that irritated and irritated and refused to go away. But it wouldn't turn into a pearl either. It just annoyed me. Finally, I said, "Okay, God, I dare you. If tithing is all they say it is, show me." And I began to tithe, small as the weekly amount was, thinking this would be an easy win for me. Well, of course, I was wrong, as I'm sure you guessed. I, too, grew closer to God. I, too, was strengthened in my faith. I felt Jesus walking alongside me and helping me carry my fears. I stopped wanting what I could never have had anyway. I started counting my blessings instead of counting sheep. In short, I had what one might call a conversion experience. Pretty good result, I would say, for a stewardship speech. Now, I'd like to stand here before you and say that the change was everlasting. But moving 2 years ago taught me that once again, I need to hit the refresh button. My husband David and I are not hoarders. We tend to throw out too much, in fact. But oh my goodness, how much stuff we had to move. In spite of trying our best to tithe, to give away, and not to acquire. Our culture of buy, 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 more, 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 can infect us all in ways we don't even realize. And without even noticing it, we can slip back into thinking enough is not enough. Our needs and our wants get confused. Our fears return. Too often we don't even examine what is enough anyway. If you ever get worried about what is enough, think about moving. What would that entail for you? You too may wish you had stopped acquiring stuff sooner. Luke's gospel calls our attention to a brother who hasn't gotten to enough yet. He is focused on the prospect of future riches, on an inheritance he doesn't yet have, but wants. And to a man who is so focused on the resources he has that all he can think of is getting more of them and building bigger and bigger barns in which to store them. Both are far from God, far from considering those who are poor. They are motivated by their own greed and distracted by their hopes for their own futures. If only my brother would get with the program and divvy up the inheritance. If only my barns were bigger. Their concerns certainly weren't about being rich towards God or caring for those who are poor. I can imagine them thinking, it's mine, I made it, I grew it, I'll keep it. I'll do exactly what I want with it. Tax cuts will put even more money in my pockets. I'll invest it well, and it will grow, and then I'll have even more. What a contrast term to our God, who gives and gives and gives, who cares for rich and poor alike, our God from whom all blessings flow, who blesses us with all we have, day after day. Our God, the giver of all good gifts, whose mercy and compassion and love for all of us are everlasting, and who needs storage space for those things only in our hearts. How easy it is to forget that unlike God, we are not everlasting, nor are our barns, or our mansions, or our apartments, or our RVs, or the stuff we fill them with. Death, which the builder of bigger barns seems to have forgotten about, will end his ownership of whatever he thinks is his, and it will pass on to someone else. Even the brother's family inheritance will finally pass on. As we have all heard forever, at least in my generation, you can't take it with you. Our culture encourages us to spend more, have more, use more, appealing to our fears of not having enough and our deep-seated, if unconscious, greed. But what if building bigger barns as a way to have a life and feel important isn't the way to go? Not just because of its temporary nature, but because it is so good at taking us away from God, the giver of life and all that is good and holy and meaningful. We need a different banking system, fed by different values. It's the economy of God's grace versus banking on bigger barns. And the one that will bring the greatest investment returns for as long as we live and for the life to come, without question, is God's mercy and grace. Yes, we need to be careful stewards of our resources, no matter whether they are great or small. Yes, saving for the future is one component of proper stewardship of God's bounty and blessing, whether personal or as a family or as a church or as a nation. But history has shown us that what we hang on to needs to be balanced with giving thanks and glory to God and providing for those who are poor and don't even have the means to survive from day to day. Just the very thought of depriving low-income children of free lunches at school and taking away food stamps from families who have to choose between rent and food to save money in the federal or state budget grieves God's heart and should grieve the heart of anyone who calls themselves Christian. Tax breaks for the rich must not be taken out of the hides of people who are poor. In God's economy, this cannot happen. It has been said for a long time that society is judged, as is a person, by how it treats its poor. When I first began tithing, it wasn't an automatic, "This is wonderful." In fact, it wasn't long before my attitude of "show me" turned not just to fears of not having enough, but to nightmares of certainty that there wouldn't be enough. At 2 a.m., when I couldn't sleep, it was easy to convince myself that my children and I would be homeless next month, and then what would I do? Where would I go? Maybe some of you have been there also. I became obsessed with money worries instead of with God and made choices based on those fears that range between foolish and seriously damaging. And I could not find the stop worrying button. Finally, with nothing else I could think of, I gave it up in prayer. I surrendered. "Okay, God, I give up. I'm not doing this very well. I'm not doing this at all. Please, help me." I visualized an altar and laid my worries there, and then in my mind's eye, walked away and left them. I had about as much faith that that would make any difference as I had had faith in tithing. But after a couple of days, every time I went for my morning run, I found a penny. I chose to think of my pennies as a sign from God that God was on my team, that God had heard my prayer, and that those pennies were God's answer of "don't worry." I started a penny bank, and when it was full, I gave the pennies away, a free gift to whoever would take them, just as they had been given to me. God gave so freely, so graciously to this fear-filled, doubting Thomasina. How could I not do the same? Singing a song of praise and gratitude all the way home. I am so grateful for summer. So grateful for time to relax a little and sizzle a burger on the grill from time to time. I'm even grateful that I had to preach on these texts this morning, because it forced me to have to become less distracted and more prayerful about my own use of resources at this moment in time. How am I using them? Am I using them rightly in service of others, or for my own self-satisfaction, or just because I can? I've had to reflect on what I want and why I want it when I hear myself saying, "I want that." Do I need it, or just want it because today is a bad day? Am I willing to put my money where my mouth is, to resist the cruelties inflicted on so many, only to help those with big barns to build already bigger ones? It isn't right or just or fair that there are so many Irises in this world who cannot find a place to live or afford a proper burial. I want to be rich towards God, giving, not getting, constantly aware of the abundance of my blessings instead of the scarcity that I fear. But I still don't find it easy. Bigger barns and the I want stuff to fill them are still tempting. I invite all of you this next week to join me in your own prayer and reflect on your own fears, if you have them, and your own attitudes towards your resources. I invite you, if you don't already, to even consider tithing. Give away 10% of your income and see what happens. May there be pennies in your path every day, and may you know God's love for you in all that you undertake. Amen.